you would join me. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we pray that even now you would be preparing our hearts for your word. Even now you'd be opening up our ears that we might hear you in new ways, opening up our minds that we might understand you in new ways, and open up our souls that we might be changed. We thank you that you are a God who speaks, and we are here to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know why this series has begun with this kind of literature, like old literature in boats theme, but that's how this series is, so we're going to continue that. There's a guy named Homer, not Simpson, who wrote a long time ago. He wrote of an epic tale of Odysseus, his long, harrowing voyage back home 10 years after the Trojan War. Odysseus is helped and hampered by humans and gods, lowercase g alike. He fights the Cyclops. He's waylaid by beautiful and dangerous foes, tempted, attacked, the whole bit. Through it all, though, he continues his journey back home. At some point in the tale, though, he has this wonderful spot of some good luck. He meets and finds favor with this guy named Aeolus, who's the master of the wind. Aeolus gives him a leather bag containing the winds, which would be kind of cool, especially considering he's in a boat trying to go somewhere. So if you have control of wind and you are in a boat that needs to go in a certain direction, wind will be helpful to you if you have some control over it. So they're on their way back. They're making obviously pretty good time, because if you can control the wind, that's really helpful. They're making great time. They get so that they can see home. They can see the land of home. They finally made it. Odysseus falls to sleep because he's pretty much there. As he's sleeping, well, the men, they start to conspire. Because, you see, they don't actually know what's in the bag. They just know it's valuable. They actually think it's gold or something even more valuable than gold. And they want it. And I'll let Odysseus tell the rest of the story. Thus they talked, and evil counsels prevailed. They loosed the sack, whereupon the winds flew howling forth and raised a storm that carried us weeping out to the sea and away from our own country. Then I awoke and knew not whether to throw myself into the sea or to live on and make the best of it. But I bore it, covered up myself up, and lay down in the ship, while the men lamented bitterly as the fierce winds bore our fleet back to the Aeolian island. When we reached it, we went ashore to take in water and dined hard by the ships. Immediately after dinner, I took a herald and one of my men and went straight to the house of Aeolus, where I found him feasting with his wife and family. So we sat down as suppliants on the threshold. They were astounded when they saw us and said, Odysseus, what brings you here? What god has been ill-treating you? We took great pains to further you on your way home to Ithaca, or wherever it was that you wanted to go. Thus did they speak, but I answered sorrowfully, my men have undone me. They and cruel sleep have ruined me. My friends, mend me this mischief, for you can if you will. I spoke as movingly as I could, but they said nothing, till their father answered, vilest of mankind, get you gone at once out of the island. Him whom heaven hates will I in no wise help. Be off, for you come here as one abhorred of heaven. And with these words he sent me sorrowing from his door. It is a tragic part of Odysseus's tale, because Odysseus quite simply does not get a second chance. I mean, you kind of are thinking, well, Odysseus is hoping for the second chance. The guy who has the wind, he can just give me another bagful and I can get all the way back. Obviously, bad things happen to bring me back here. Just give me a second chance. But here's the thing, life doesn't normally work that way. You don't often get a second chance. You're only young once. Your kids are only young once. Opportunities come and then they go. If you make a mistake, you've made a mistake. There's no undo button in life. You can't just control Z and everything goes back to right before you made your mistake, because you don't get a second chance. Time keeps moving forward, and once it's passed, it's gone. There just aren't that many opportunities for second chances. But then every once in a while, there is. Every once in a while, there's one of those mystical, fantastical moments where you actually do get a second chance. a second chance to be there, a second chance to do the right thing this time, a second chance to make it up to someone, a second chance to say what needed to be said. But they're just so rare, which maybe is why they're so special. In today's story that we're about to read, we're going to witness the giving of a second chance. A second chance that isn't earned and it's not deserved, but it's given as an act of grace. And it will change those who receive it. Which brings us to our series. Today we're almost at the end of this final phase in this three-part sermon series talking about grace. We began with the first part talking about receiving grace. Undeserved forgiveness, unearned acceptance, unexpected love. Then the middle section we talked about, if we receive that grace, is there a way, to borrow a farming term, to sow that grace forward? Is there a way to take grace and sow it into a harvest of grace? Sometimes the grace we receive are gifts, talents that we have. Can you sow into your talents to produce more? Can you sow into the things that God has given you to produce more in someone else? I've been forgiven. Can I take that and give someone else forgiveness? Can I produce more forgiveness by giving it to someone else? But then in this final section, we're trying to take grace even deeper. Can we then become a people of grace? How do we take that grace into ourselves and then beyond ourselves to others and in the process somehow become grace? And so we're looking at the book of Jonah, and I would invite you to turn to Jonah chapter 3 today. If you're reading it in your Bible, and it's always better in your own Bible, you may want the table of contents to find it because it's a little tiny book. If not, it'll be on that screen or in your bulletins. While you're turning there, I'll remind you where we left off. If you remember, God had called Jonah to go to the evil, evil, evil Ninevites and give them a good preaching to. Give them a good, give them the message from God. Jonah receives said call, and instead he gets on a slow boat to the opposite side of the world. Remember, it's not just that Jonah didn't do what God asked him to do, it's that he actively ran away so he wouldn't have to do it. He wouldn't be able to do it. God sends a big storm after Jonah's ship. He then is thrown overboard. God also sends a big fish to swallow him up. Last week we saw how Jonah inside the fish began to pray, and that makes sense. Because I imagine if you found yourself inside of a big fish, you would be a prayer. You may not be a prayer today. Inside a big fish, you pray. But the interesting part of that prayer was it wasn't so much the prayer you would expect, the help me God, I'm inside a giant fish. It was more a prayer of thanksgiving. And we talked about how maybe the way this works is Jonah was actually drowning. He was in the middle of a sea when he got thrown overboard. Whether he can swim or not, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a sea. And maybe the way the Bible says it is God provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. Maybe he was drowning and he was saved by the big fish. The big fish returns him to shore, which brings us closer to where we are today. It was also interesting in that prayer that there was a shift that happened from the prophet who was running away from God to now a prophet who's suddenly willing to answer the call. Something changed inside of Jonah. Somehow he received grace and changed. So today we get back to our story in chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Amen. Our story today is an amazing story of a second chance. Jonah heads to Nineveh, and with a word from the Lord, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. It's not exactly the most hope-filled message, but, you know, whatever. But they believe him. I mean, this is the crazy part. They actually believe Jonah. These wicked, evil people hear this message from God and they turn around. They quite literally repent. They start to fast. They start to mourn. They humble themselves before God. Even the king humbles himself. Think about what that must have looked like. A whole city humbling themselves, crying out for forgiveness. Can you imagine what that would look like if Fort Worth, the whole Metroplex, humbled ourselves, fasted, mourned, cried out for forgiveness for days? It'd be weird. It'd be staggering. It'd be almost frightening. What would it take for something like that to happen? Why would the Ninevites have believed Jonah? He's a foreigner talking about a foreign god. And yet they, for some reason, believed. Of course, maybe it's a simple explanation. Maybe it's simply that they saw him get out of the big fish, which would be kind of strange. It'd be kind of amazing. I mean, if a big fish kind of parks itself on shore, opens the mouth, Jonah walks out and says, "Hey, repent." There's a good amount of credibility in that, just in general. Maybe it was simply Jonah's smell. No one smells that bad without some kind of reason or purpose. Or maybe, for some reason, they simply knew this was a message from God. And they knew that they were doing evil, and they knew that they were going to be punished. But whatever the reason, they believed Jonah. They believed God, and they changed. God gave them a second chance, and they grabbed hold of it for all they were worth. Of course, they aren't the only ones in this story who get a second chance. Remember our story of Jonah. Jonah was called by the Lord to preach to Nineveh, and instead he runs away. And then our story today picks up with, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah gets a second chance too. God calls the first time, Jonah says no, and then God calls again. And this should stop you. This should shake you at least a little. Because here's the thing. Jonah is a failure. He is a prophet of God who does not prophesy. He is called by God and he says no to God. What do you call a prophet who doesn't prophesy? That doesn't bring the word of the Lord to those who need it? You call them either just a person or a failure. And so after Jonah is saved from the whale, the way this story should go is it should be over after chapter 2. And then the whale opened its mouth, or the big fish opened its mouth, and Jonah got out. The end. Because here's the thing. You don't send an unfaithful, unlistening, ungraceful ex-prophet to a people who actually need to hear a message of grace. They actually need to be changed. So you don't send someone who's not very good at that to a people who need someone who's very good at it. There is certain destruction that is imminent. Why would you send Jonah of all people? And yet that's what God does. Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Can you imagine how startling that must have been for Jonah? I mean, you have failed in a biblically epic way. Literally, they are writing your failure down in the Bible so people for generations can realize how bad you have done. Can you imagine how much that kind of a failure would have just eaten away at him? You had one job, and you ran away. But then to hear God's voice again, for God to give you a second chance. And ironically enough, his call, this second chance, is then to go be a second chance, give a message of a second chance to someone else. He receives grace, and he's called to then go be grace. You wonder, if you think about this story for a little bit, you wonder if he wouldn't have done it right the first time. I mean, how would Jonah have given grace to the Ninevites without acknowledging that he's received any grace? You wonder if the only way this story could have worked out is if he said no and then received grace so that he could be grace. Whatever the case, he goes to the Ninevites, he preaches, they repent. Somehow they realize that they've been given a second chance, and they respond as well. And of course, Jonah and the Ninevites aren't the only ones who sometimes may possibly need a second chance. Sometimes we do too. Maybe you're here today in need of a second chance. Maybe you need to hear the message of Jonah, that God gives second chances. Maybe today you find yourself being kind of a little too much like the Ninevites, kind of caught up in a little bit of sin. Maybe you've done something, maybe it was way in your past, maybe it's way in a couple minutes ago, maybe it's something you do, and the guilt of it just weighs heavily upon you. And maybe today you need to hear the message of grace again, that God gives second chances. Maybe today you're more like Jonah and the Ninevites, and you've just, it's not so much of the big sins in your life, maybe it's just that you found yourself to be distant from God. Maybe you used to be close, maybe you put on a good show of it, maybe you've never been close, but either way, you're just kind of far off. And maybe today you need to know that God offers second chances. Or maybe today you're like Jonah. You've felt God kind of nudging you in a certain direction, calling you to something new or scary or different, and instead of listening, you've ignored or you've run. You've let the fear control your future instead of your faith. Maybe today you need to hear the message that God offers you a second chance. And do you know why? Because God is the God of the second chance. There's something about the character of God that is all about giving second chances. It's part of who God is. God is patient. God is willing to wait for people to get it right. God is rooting for us, even when we go astray. God is willing to work with wayward prophets and wicked people in order to restore them and bring redemption. Because you realize God could have just wiped them out and started over, but God chose to work through him and in them. God gives them a second chance. A second chance which they didn't earn and they don't deserve. But then again, that's kind of the nature of second chances, isn't it? Second chances normally aren't earned or deserved. And because of their response, God relents. God doesn't bring about the destruction that had been threatened. God has compassion on them. And really, that's the grace and the hope that we find throughout the scriptures. In fact, you could almost tell the whole story of the Bible by simply saying, God is the God of the second chance. Adam and Eve sin. God should have just smited them down, gotten rid of them. But he didn't. He gave them a second chance. Cain kills Abel. Second chance. All of humanity is pretty much literally gone to hell in a handbasket, and then God taps Noah and says, you know what, build a boat. We're going to try again. We're going to do a second chance here for you and your Abraham, the Israelites. Israelites are constantly finding all sorts of new ways to get distracted and to, like, I don't want to, let's not follow God anymore. And God gives, and then, oh no, we're in trouble, and God help, and second chance. New Testament, Peter knows all about the second chance. Paul, who used to be Saul, knows all about the second chance. Because you see, the second chance is an amazing message of hope. That God is the God of the second chance. That while we don't deserve it and we can't earn it, sometimes before we even know we need it, God gives us another chance. Because God is patient with us. Because God wants us to try again and again till we get it right. Why don't you get back up on the horse and try again? You know what, after that shot, why don't we take a mulligan? You know what, have a redo. You can do it this time. Let me help you. It's why I think we like the idea of the second chance, because second chances are filled with hope. You get it wrong the first time, which is kind of implied in the need for needing a second chance, but then you get to try it again. And with that comes the hope that you might get it right this time. That this time you can do better. Let's just not count that one. Go ahead and try again. Of course, the challenge for us in this is that we actually take the second chance when it's offered. And this isn't always easy, because taking a second chance means admitting that we need a second chance. It's admitting that we were wrong. It requires humbling ourselves enough to be corrected, and it involves all the work of trying a second time. See, it's one thing for us to be offered a second chance, but it takes work, and it only works if we take that second chance. I wonder today, is there a place in your life, is there something in your history, is there something you're struggling with where today you need to remember that you've been offered a second chance? Of course, grace doesn't stop there. Because it's one thing to receive a second chance, but then what if we're to become a people of the second chance? Because remember, it's only after Jonah receives grace, after he's received the second chance, that he's finally able to become grace, that he's finally able to be a second chance and offer a second chance to the Ninevites. It's as if his second chance changes him. It's as if God cares not just about Jonah, but also for the Ninevites and everyone else. And God wants to give them a second chance through him. It's why things like being saved never seem like it's enough. Or it's not that it's not enough, it's that there's more to this whole Christianity thing than the just being saved part. Because just being saved is all about me. And the gospel's bigger than that. Grace is bigger than that. Because God isn't just trying to get you and me saved. He's trying to get us to become changed. He's trying to get us to become grace. He's trying to get grace to others through us. And what's truly amazing about that is that God does that even though he knows how much we still need his grace. Even though he knows exactly how many times that you and I have failed. Even though he knows how many times that we have asked for a second chance again and again, and he's given it again and again and again. And yet he still seems to want to use you and I to be a people of grace, to be a people of a second chance, and to offer those to others. Because God is the God of the second chance. And he's called us to be a people of the second chance, to give others the second chance. And that's hard. I don't want to make light of this. It is hard because people hurt each other. People hurt us. People wrong us. People do things that don't deserve a second chance. But then again, we don't deserve a second chance either. And God gives us one again and again and again and again. Maybe the only way to be a person of grace, to be a person of the second chance, is to realize that we too have been given a second chance, a second chance to not be first. I mean, if you think about the story of Jonah, every time Jonah is doing his own thing, every time he's all about Jonah, you'll notice he's unable to be grace to anyone else. Frankly, even unable to experience grace himself. It seems like Jonah can't receive or be a second chance when Jonah's all about being first, when he's all about himself. But when he's not all about himself, when he's not about himself being first, that's when he seems to be most the person of the second chance to others. And isn't that what our world needs a little bit more of today? Don't you think our world could use just a few more second chances in a week like this week? Seems like we live in a world that is desperately in need of another chance. A world that needs more and more people who give more and more second chances to others. A world that needs an unearned, undeserved overabundance of grace. And frankly, that's maybe what it means to be church. That together we are the people who have not just received the second chance, but we are the people of the second chance. And we give it to anyone we can. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the story of Jonah. We thank you that you offered Jonah a second chance. And we thank you that through Jonah you offered the Ninevites a second chance, because it reminds us that you offer us a second chance as well. Lord, we thank you for how this story really points us toward Jesus, points us to the cross, points us to the means of our second chance. That Christ died for us so that we would be forgiven and made new. So that we'd be given a second chance. Lord, we pray that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would empower us to then be that second chance to others. We confess that it is hard, because we don't want to give second chances. But you gave one to us. So, Lord, we pray that you would more and more make us a people of the second chance, that we would be able to offer that to others, and that through that you would continue to change your world. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand as we close in worship.